Hello and welcome to Mark's Messes vs. the Evolutionary War, episode number 3 of a 12-issue limited podcast. In each episode, I will be looking at one of the Marvel 1988 annuals with the banner of the Evolutionary War. I will examine both the main story and the backup, and in the 12th and final podcast, I will talk about the High Evolutionary story, which runs at the end of nearly all the annuals. This annual is the Silver Surfer annual, which is the first ever Silver Surfer annual. And let's go straight into the story. This story is entitled Adam. It is written by Steve Englehart, who wrote a lot of Silver Surfer this time, and penciled by Joe Station, and inks by Robert Ubinstein. Joe Station with Steve Englehart wrote a lot of Green Lantern Corps, Millennium, and other works, so they have worked together quite a bit. First, a story is entitled Adam. The High Evolutionary floats in the air, in front of the Eternals. Makari, Thina, Kekas, Cersei, Akiris. These are the Eternals. The High Evolutionary summarizes their story. The Celestials came to Earth, the space gods, took some men and made them into deviants and summoned into Eternals. The High Evolutionary asks for help. He's basically subcontracting out his work. He must have got fed up with all his minions below him screwing up and letting people go. Oh dear, what a life it must be for the High Evolutionary. Anyway, next we see the Silver Surfer with his girlfriend. Of course, he can't have a normal girlfriend, it has to be a girlfriend on fire. And Silver Surfer is heading back to Earth. His girlfriend, who is Nova, the current herald of Galactus, the planet devourer. They have a wee kiss goodbye. Silver Surfer heads back, and it even says it's weeks have passed before he gets to the Earth. He's quite pleased that the Earth has survived, but as he passes the Van Allen radiation belt, it flares up and something is coming out of it. It's a Super Skrull. He lives again. Super Skrull is an old foe of the Fantastic Four, one of the Skrulls who has all the abilities of each of the Fantastic Four. In other words, stretching, thing like strength, fire, and a force shield like Invisible Woman. The Super Skrull reveals that he's been transformed into energy in Alpha Flight number 10. And of course, when two people of this magnitude meet up, they fight! And we see the Skrull's full range of powers, where he uses a flame to fly, the strength of the thing to walk, as the sound effects go, his force shield and his stretching powers. Oh, what joy he must have had in using all these. The Eternals turn up and they take the two back to Earth and basically kidnap them. They decide to map the Super Skrull's DNA sequence, as well as they are the deviants of their planet. Super Skrull is kind of like a deviant of his planet, and they became the boss people of their planet. It's all complicated space stuff. I don't know. Anyway, back at the Eternals' headquarters, the Super Skrull hears that his homeworld has been destroyed, and there are five warlords playing emperor to fragmented parts of the Skrull Empire. This gives us a very sad Skrull face, and I think it looks cute. It's like my dog when he gets tooled off. Oh, poor Skrull. Anyway, Super Skrull and Silver Surfer are put into glass pyramids for examination. Why, I do not know. I don't think the Eternals are anything to do with Egypt, but What do you get? That's what you get with these scientific people who mess about with DNA and... Oh, dear. Silver Surfer plans to break free and encourages Skrull to do the same. And with an exertion of a lot of power from them both, and the Super Skrull using his force shield and the thing's power, they break free. And the big dramatic page of the Silver Surfer breaking the glass. He notices he's not wearing any slippers, so he might cut his feet. But that's beside the point. Anyway. Super Skrull and Silver Surfer join up to escape by fighting the Eternals. It's fighty, fighty, showy, parry time. And everyone gets to use their powers. Isn't that wonderful? With people speeding around the place, creating a vortex. It doesn't really make clear what each of the Eternals' powers are. I have to say at this point, I've only ever come across two of the Eternals any length of time. Cersei was a member of, or will be, a member of the Avengers and of the mid-300s, around about that time. And I think it's Makira, who's the speedster. He shows up in Quasar, ongoing series of Quasar in a few years' time from this, and he kind of a, I don't know, surf dude type character at that point, so I don't know what he's like here. Anyway, a lot of fighty, fighty whams and stuff like that, and the Super Skrull has a chance to escape. Will he escape, or will he stop to help the... Oh, right, he's escaped. Right, he's just gone. So the Silver Surfer goes out after him. And two of the Eternals chase after them both. They catch up with the Super Skrull, and just as they're about to grab him, the Silver Surfer stops them. He helps, and the Surfer halts the fighting, tells the Super Skrull to go and save his people, for only he can save them. It's a bit of a daunting job for that. The Eternals let the Silver Surfer go. And the Silver, after Silver Surfer, makes a really weird speech. This is the speech. I'll read it for you all. Okay, one of the Eternals goes, What are you trying to say, Surfer?
I am saying that I didn't just fly over Olympia in my years on Earth. I had time enough and world enough to walk upon all the lonely places on this planet. I meditated for 2 days once on the peak your city occupies, has occupied, according to you, for millennia. And it wasn't simply invisible. It wasn't there. The story is, you Eternals are confused with gods, but you're not gods. I wonder if that story is complete.
What will you do while you wander?
Investigate the High Evolutionary's plan for Earth. Assist it in an appropriate manner if I determine it does have beneficial goals. Oppose it if I determine it does not.
Okay, so that's just a bit of a weird speech. It seems to be setting up something that doesn't really pay off. The Silver Surfer vows to go after the High Evolutionary now, and he tries to try and figure out if the High Evolutionary is doing something to benefit mankind, or if it's the opposite of that. And the Eternals send them off. Now, that's the end of that part of the story. That's the end of the whole High Evolutionary War type thing. Now, if I was a High Evolutionary, I'd be pretty cheesed off. He made a contract with these people. They didn't deliver. I mean, I want to see the next annual being a Daredevil annual where the High Evolutionary goes in. He asks Matt Murdock to represent him in a claim against the Eternals. But, as we'll find out next time, it isn't so. Which is really sad. Okay, there are two more stories in this. One follows a Silver Surfer's girlfriend at this time, Nova. I don't know much about Nova, but I do know she was born in Brooklyn to the man who built the original Human Torch. Her name is Frankie Ray, and she had an affinity with fire. She ended up being the main squeeze for the Human Torch, and that got her into the gig of being the Herald of Galactics. Really weird. But she's flying through space with the greatest of ease. Nothing can stop her, not even some peas. Okay, maybe not rhyming isn't my good thing. She comes, she reaches Galactus' ship, and there's no answer from the Big G himself. Galactus is a world eater. He goes about trying to sustain his large appetite by eating planets, whether they're occupied or not. And the Herald their job now in comics is to make sure that he doesn't eat anywhere with a good population. So, anyway, she gets to the ship. Galactus is nowhere to be seen, and then she finds him on the floor in agony. Where do you get this? He had one of the elders, and they're in his body, and they're what's killing him, which is weird. So he actually ate something that didn't agree with him. So anyway, he tells Nova to get the Silver Surfer, Sue, and Reed Richards. But Sue Richards is vital, and Nova must contact the Surfer to come. So Surfer is busy going, hey, I must find this High Evolutionary, see if he's threatening the Earth. I can't leave now, but Surfer, I need you. He needs you. Blah-dy, blah-dy, blah. So that really stops it. This leads on to the Silver Surfer ongoing series, where indeed he does bring Sue and Reed Richards. Now, consider it took him weeks to reach Earth. How's he going to transport them all the way there? Anyway, the third story is about Mantis. Again, a character I don't really know. And the things I can glean from this story. I know she was an Avenger, but I've never really read those Avengers stories. She was a prostitute in Vietnam. She's got bluey, greeny skin. I don't know, just stuff like that. Anyway, a green woman wakes up in an apartment with a headache. She does not know where she is. She meditates, as women do. She is Mantis, daughter of Gustav Brandt, also known as Libra from the Zodiac Cartel. And she's from Vietnam. She goes to talk to the plants to see if they will tell her what's happening. But the plants don't tell her. I don't know if this is because she can talk to plants or she's just crazy. I think if I was end up like her, I'd be a bit crazy. So was it sort of a Prince Charles thing? Talk to the plants, see if they'll tell you what's happening. Or has she got an affinity with plants and nature? I don't know. Anyway, she calms down and a phrase pops into her head. Avengers assemble. Then there's a wee note that we'll see her next in West Coast Avengers 37. And I actually have West Coast Avengers 37, and it doesn't tell you much more. She ends up being brainwashed and goes to the Avengers and is a spy, blah-de-blah-de-blah, all that stuff. Obviously, it's set up for something that is happening next. And then we have some splash pages with a bit about some of the supporting characters. There's a Silver Surfer. There's Nova, and I read most of that out just before the Nova story. There is Mantis, and it says below, in memorial. So it must mean that everybody thought she was dead. There's Shala Baal. Once she was an ordinary woman of Febel Sena La, but then she fell in love with an ordinary man named Norn Rad, and the rest has been history. Norn Rad is the original name of Silver Surfer, so she must have been the first main squeeze. Then there's Nanor. That's what it looks like. There's the Supreme Intelligence. Once the Senate entity ruled the Empire of Kree. But that was before he chose Nanora as his aide. Now he exists as a scrambled simulacrum in the Sacred Spectula, thanks to Silver Surfer. What a weird thing to talk. He was basically the boss of the Kree, the sort of one they went to. And here's some of the Kree people. No, there's the Skrulls. And here's some of the Skrulls who are now ruling different fragmented parts. There's Emperor Kalor. There's Sybil, or whatever you call it. And last but not least, there's a huge two-page spread of Galactus. Enough said. Really, I think he needs a new outfit. This purple and blue. Very reminiscent of Hawkeye. Anyway, right, the end of every episode, I like to promote a podcast that has something to do with it. I'm going to sort of step away from that at the moment because A, I don't know any Silver Surfer podcasts, and B, I've decided just to do podcasts that I find interesting. So I might have a couple of them done twice within this series. But Silver Surfer, kind of very powerful entity. Oh, maybe I should talk about that. Interesting thing I found out, I realized about the characters in this and the main story. Silver Surfer, the Eternals, Super Skrull, they were all created partly or totally by Jack Kirby, Jack the King Kirby. It's interesting to see how little I care about these characters. I don't really care about the Surfer. He's a guy, a spaceman on a surfboard. That is just too out there for me. The Eternals are just... they seem to have been thrown in here just to use them. And the Super Skrull was the most interesting character in this. There was some development in his character. It's nothing against the writing of it. It's Steve Englehart. It was an okay story, just I wasn't emotionally invested. I'd never followed the Silver Surfer. The art was, it was okay, I could tell what was happening, but I think it was more the fact that this was thrown in here. I can just see Steve Englehart being told, "Steve, we want an annual. Oh, I've got this great story where Galactus has eaten one of the elders of the universe. I need Reed and Sue Richards to come along. Oh, that's okay, but we need it to be we need the High Evolutionary in it. Okay? No, okay. The High Evolutionary is out in space. No, it needs to be Earthbound. There's a big war on Earth. Okay. Oh, yes, and we want you to put in the Eternals. Right. Because basically the story with the Surfer starts off in space and ends in space, with Silver Surfer is going back to where he started. And I've got a funny feeling that if you were reading the Silver Surfer stories at the time, you wouldn't have noticed there was an annual there. There wouldn't be a break in the storytelling, which is pretty sad. Anyway, back to the podcast. Podcasting recommending, because we're dealing with a superpowered being, and I don't really like superpowered being, like, I don't know, Silver Surfer, the Eternals, Superman. Ah, Superman. This week's podcast I'd like to highlight is From Crisis to Crisis, a Superman podcast. This may not have anything to do with Marvel, but it was a great reintroduction to Superman. It's a Superman that's gone now, but it follows Superman from the reboot in the mid-80s and for the next 20 years. I found it great. I started listening to it because I had the first 6 issues of that Superman reboot, and I just kept with it. The two presenters are fantastic together. They bring on great guests. They've just done a whole plethora of the death and return of Superman, and those were great fun. And I even went out and bought the graphic novels or the trade paperbacks for those. So they've done a great job. So at the end of the show, I will play at last, if I'm one that has a trailer, I'll play the trailer for them and you can check it out yourself. This has been Mark's Mess versus the Evolutionary War, episode 3 of a 12-issue podcast. All characters are property of Marvel. And thanks to Josh Woodward of joshwoodward.com for the title music. Next issue, New Mutants. Find out how a mutant gains new powers, what Magneto's up to, and how to drive a car underage and get away with it from the police.
Michael Bailey.
And I'm Jeffrey Taylor.
And we host a podcast called From Crisis to Crisis, a Superman podcast.
Presented by the Superman homepage. On the show... Wait.
What?
This just isn't working out for me. It's not bombastic enough. We need something epic.
Like what?
Welcome to From Crisis to Crisis, a Superman podcast, presented by the Superman homepage. I am Jeffrey Taylor.
And I am Michael Bailey.
From Crisis to Crisis chronicles the adventures of Superman.
Wait. I'm just not feeling this.
I'm just wondering how there's a needle scratching sound when all of this is clearly digital.
Look, all we need to say is that this is a trailer for a show called From Crisis to Crisis, a Superman podcast presented by the Superman homepage. My name is Michael Bailey.
I'm Jeffrey Taylor.
And every week we give in-depth synopsis and reviews for just about every Superman book published between Man of Steel number 1 in 1986
and Adventures of Superman number 649 in 2006. We also talk about the related Superman media, what was happening in the rest of the world when these comics were published, and what else was going on in the DC Universe.
The show drops every Thursday-ish at the Superman homepage, which is located at www.supermanhomepage.com.
From Crisis to Crisis is also a proud member of the Superman Podcast Network, located at www.supermanpodcastnetwork.com.
So join Jeffrey and I each week as we explore Superman during the post-crisis era, which includes Exile, Panic in the Sky, Doomsday, The Marriage, and beyond.
And write into the show at FromCrisisToCrisis@gmail.com and hear it read on the air, eventually, because we get behind on that sort of thing.
Superman created by Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster. Side effects from Crisis to Crisis include loss of money from buying back issues, a desire to read 20-year-old comic books, nausea, drowsiness, pizza, blurred vision, upset stomach, a desire to kick puppies and kittens, and backache from lifting boxes of Superman comics. If the excitement of From Crisis to Crisis lasts more than 4 hours, seek immediate medical attention.